America, because there's a lot of rules you got to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the fun stuff. Like, there's a class called Positions and Transitions, so you know how to maneuver on camera without being all knees and elbows.
Okay.
We do bondage safety classes.
Bondage safety classes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
All anal is a good class.
Oh, okay. All right. This is all interesting. Keep going. I'm interested. Keep going.
Fisting, stretching, squirting. We go over it all.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah. So we basically put together 12 programs to take somebody who doesn't know anything about the industry of porn.
Okay.
And get them to a place where they can run and operate their own fan sites and clip sites on their own and get themselves an agent and welcome themselves into the industry.
So it's a helpful tutorial on how to get into the business and how to do it the proper way.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I've been teaching OnlyFans classes since 2016.
I didn't know there was OnlyFans classes. This is new. Okay, keep going.
I mean, there weren't any. That's why I taught them.
Yeah,
it was necessary.
You got to do it.
So when the pandemic happened and everything shut down, everyone started jumping on this platform. And the same people who told me 4 years prior, like, I would never do that, they were the first ones in. And there's a lot of ways that you can put yourself on the internet and fail miserably. There's a lot of ways that girls undercut themselves, either because they just don't know any better, maybe because they're insecure. But there is a certain industry standard and a certain language that we use and a certain protocol that we follow. It's not only just keep the industry afloat, but to stay safe as well and sane, which is helpful. So we coach people through these things because it's very simple to put yourself on the internet one night because it seems like a good idea, and then you don't know the next morning that you broke three major laws, you sold your soul to the devil, you made no money, but the guy advertising on your site made all the money, and now you're the girl who's the hoe on the internet with a terrible reputation and nothing to show for it.
You're preaching to the choir. It hasn't happened recently, but there's been girls that I've known that say, hey, I want to get into the business. Of course, I don't know how to do that, but I have people that, you know, that are pretty famous in the business. I said, call them. And all the stuff you just said is the same thing they always tell them. And every time they turn it down because they don't realize, like you said, the legality stuff. They don't realize that once you do it, it's up there the whole time. But you pretty much explained it how everyone else explains it as perfectly as you can, because not everyone always thinks about that stuff. They just like, oh, I'll just film something and maybe I'll make money. And then that's the extent is how far they think about it. They don't think about everything else.
There's so many ways you can get sued. I've had friends who've been audited, and because they have the radio playing in the background,
mm-hmm.
now that person's music is owed a kickback, or they're going to sue you for that content for every dollar you made off that video with their music in the background. If you're wearing a Nike Just Do It t-shirt, mm-hmm. now Nike's on your tail for product infringement. So there's a lot of little film industry loopholes, but also adult industry loopholes that you have to follow. In Canada specifically, we have a list of human decency laws we have to follow. There's words we cannot say. There's terminology we cannot use. There's actions we cannot do. Until recently, fisting was banned on video formats in Canada.
Really?
And now fisting's okay. So there are ebbs and flows. Every year our industry does we do an in-service and we review what's going on, what's selling well, what's not selling well, what we need to change, what we shouldn't change. And so fisting is now back on the market, which is great. But for a long time, crushing was a big fetish. And customers would say, hey, could you go get a bag of cockroaches from the pet store and step on them? And you're literally killing animals, even though they're cockroaches. You're literally killing animals for somebody's sexual gratification. And the girls are like, I need $100. Well, you just made $100 to take a life. That sucks.
I thought I've heard everything. I've never heard of crushing before.
Oh,
ever
crushing?
In my life. I thought I've heard everything.
It started off as a foot fetish, and then it turned into girls like crushing like pies and food, and then it turned into them stepping on small critters. And the industry had to take a stand and say, hey, you can't do this. There's no goldfish allowed. There's no cockroaches allowed. Like, you cannot not do this because people get out of hand. And as soon as somebody online, now that the internet is driving pornography, some guy anywhere in the world can be like, I want to see a three-eyed lobster do this. And the girl's like, okay, $100, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so we have to stop those girls from thinking that the money is more important than, you know, human decency or human or animal life at this point.
Yeah. I'm a big animal lover, too. Doesn't matter what kind of animal it is.
Yeah. So we gotta stop girls and be like, listen, just because somebody said they want to see you do blank wearing blank at blank location mm-hmm. for $100 does not mean you should do it. First of all, you shouldn't do anything for $100.
Correct.
You're worth more than that.
Right.
But that's where Porno Boot Camp kind of started, was we saw a bunch of girls really undercutting the industry because they're, you know, for shits and giggles, they were on the internet. Here's my titties. Oh my God, I made a dollar. I'm a porn star now. No, honey, your chicken pulled her tits out and you were intoxicated at the time, which is another legality issue. You can't be intoxicated while you're performing.
Oh, I didn't know that. I learned something else. I learned. So you can't be drunk or high.
No drugs and alcohol out on set whatsoever.
Really?
Here's the thing.
Did that recently change? Because Nick Manning used to smoke weed all the time on set.
That is not recent. That's
okay.
Been around a long time.
Okay, I'm asking. Just asking.
So you down a bottle of wine and you and I do a scene together, right?
Yeah.
You have the time of your life. The next day you wake up, you regret your decisions and go, oh my God, I was drunk. Sam raped me.
Yeah.
Now I've got a rape charge on me because you were drunk.
Isn't okay, and maybe this is a dumb question. My father said never. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Isn't that the purpose of signing waivers? Like when I have people come on the show, I have them
sign
waivers.
Intoxicated.
Oh, I guess that's a good look. I guess that's a good point. I guess that's so. If you signed it and you said you were drunk, then they would say it's void. It doesn't matter.
No. Yeah. You can't.
Okay.
You can't
okay.
give consent if you're intoxicated.
Okay. All right.
Now here's the thing. If you sign your waiver and then you become drunk on set.
Yeah.
You still can't give consent because you are now intoxicated.
Okay, that makes sense. I've learned two things so far.
I mean, these aren't even porn rules. This is a straight up like dating in the real world rules. Like,
well, no, I know what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying I figured people would. I'm not saying get drunk on set. I'm saying have a half a glass of wine on set to loose. But
if
that's not
has
even
half a glass
yeah.
of wine on one of my sets. They're
yeah.
going home without a paycheck.
Okay.
It is a hard no. We run a tight ship. We're
yeah.
here to run a business.
Yeah.
It's very sexy. It's very fun. Everyone likes having orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need to get drunk or high in order to be there, you're in the wrong job.
I got
to
be honest. I never even really thought about it. Yeah.
And you need to get drunk or high in order to teach your class of students, you're in the wrong job.
There might be a lot of teachers nowadays that when they're doing online teaching, they may want to be drunk when they're teaching people online. I don't even know how teachers do it right now. I have no.
Ethically, they should wait till after their class.
That's a good
gone.
Point. That's a good point. You're right. You're right. I'm picking up what you're putting down. But I find all that fascinating. The other thing I saw clips of it, but I didn't know what it was. Were you at one point hosting concerts or doing something with a tour or what? Because music's a big part of the program. I have a lot of musicians on the show. So what were you involved in? What was that about that I saw?
I worked for a band called Guar for 7 years.
You worked for Guar?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I was the host of the Guarbecue in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
It started off, I was hosting a 519 Punk tour in Guelph, Ontario.
Okay.
And it was a charity event, and Guar came out of costume as Rog, which is Guar spelled backwards.
Okay.
To be the headlining show, and it was amazing. And I didn't know who they were from a hole in the ground. I had heard of Guar. I was like, I had heard some songs. I was aware of the general idea, but I had never been a fan. And I was working backstage running the show, had my headset on, was giving them what they needed. And I did such a lovely job that, well, okay, first of all, Dave Brocky missed his flight.
Okay.
So I had to, like, hold back the crowd for the extra 35 minutes or whatever it took to get him on another flight and then driven in somebody's minivan that picked him up at the airport to the location. So I had to keep the crowd going. And I did such a lovely job at keeping them entertained. Right until the minivan drove through the crowd, the side door opened, Brocky came out, and the first song started. It was flawless. And then as they left at the end of the show, also in the minivan, they offered me a job hosting their show as well. So I flew to Virginia a week later and found out firsthand, side stage, exactly what Guar was. And I was with them for 7 years.
That's cool. That is really cool. Well, I don't want to judge here based on how you look because that's stupid to do. What kind of music do you normally listen to? Are you a metal chick? Is that a good assumption? Or what kind of music do you normally listen to? Because it'll lead into my next question.
90s hip hop.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have guessed that. I looked at her, I'm like, she's a rocker chick. That's what I would have thought.
I mean, I appreciate. I mean, I was in pop punk for a long time.
Okay.
I was a punk for a long time. I can appreciate metal. I actually really appreciate metal drummers.
Okay.
I think that is the hardest of all of the musicians to be. I think that requires the most precision and the most skill. Out of every instrument, out of every genre, a metal drummer is top of my list. I think that deserves all the praise.
Okay.
But I was a DJ at a strip club forever and ever and ever. And before that, I worked on a radio station as a host of Queer FM. And there, you could never go wrong with R&B and hip hop from the 90s. I don't care who's in the club. I don't care how angry people are or who threw a drink at who. You throw on some good 90s hip hop throwbacks, everything simmers right down.
No, you're right. You're right, I guess.
No diggity.
It is funny when I go to metal shows. It is kind of sad because there's typically not a lot of women. There's not only is there not hot women there, there really is no women at a metal show, which is kind of depressing.
But I love the pit. The pit at a metal show is where I met some of my best friends to this day. Because even though they're thrashing as hard as the Lord will let them, if one person gets even slightly injured, everyone stops, gets that guy back up. Like, there is a camaraderie, there is a brotherhood there, there is an honor system that you don't find in other music venues.
I learned I was getting old when I'm like, I can't do the pit anymore. I can't do it. Just get me backstage. I don't want to worry about getting hit in the back of the head. But you are right. Usually at a metal show, they're super nice in the pit. You would think they're crazy, but they're always super nice. You're 100% right about that.
Even when you do, like, the Wall of Death, like, yeah. People still have, there is a camaraderie there. Like, yeah, we're here to slaughter each other. We don't want to kill anyone.
How can I put this question? What's your personality like? Are you out in LA? You're partying a lot? Are you a homebody? Or what is your normal life like? Are you out partying in Los Angeles? Or you're like, nah, I stay home. I don't really go out at all.
I'm a workaholic.
Okay.
I look the way I do, which is very misleading. I have been straight edge my whole life. Found out about straight edge movement when I was 14 and decided that's what I wanted to do. So I have never been drunk. I've never been hungover. I've never smoked a joint. No smoking, no drinking, no drugs my entire life. So I've got a bunch of straight edge tattoos. And I work and I work and I work. And my job is really fun. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of fun at work, but I don't need to party. I create the ultimate fantasies that people go to parties to try and have like 1% of.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't need to go do that. I don't need to go to a house party and meet people and hope that maybe I'll have a wild threesome. I just book it and I film it and I light it beautifully and I buy matching outfits for the girls and create the filthiest fantasies I can think of.
That's the best line I've heard. If I just want a threesome, I just book it. That's pretty much what I do.
I'm literally having a threesome tomorrow.
That's fantastic. I'll give you a kind of a funny story that ties into that. This is years ago. I'm at the bar with my friends. We're hanging out and my cell phone's on the bar. And I had called or texted Nikki Hunter about something, and I don't remember what it was. And my phone goes off, and it's Nikki's like, Rob, sorry I didn't get back to you. I was in the middle of shooting a gangbang. My friends look at me. They're like, really, Rob? Like, those are the text messages I get. Like, it's normal for me. I'm sorry. It just is what it is. But I just, you know, when you said, I'll book it, you did it so casually. When I had that text on my phone, everyone's like, that's the text messages you get? I'm like, well, they're working, so they're telling me what they're doing. It is what it is. Yeah. You know? I filmed a porn once. And I got to be honest. For everybody out there, and I try to tell everybody, it's great to watch it. From my vantage point, it's not as fun to film it. Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
I just shot for a very large company. And the textbook that they emailed me of all the camera settings and lighting settings and audio settings that I had to make sure were absolutely correct before we could even roll footage on any performer was insane. It took three of us like dissecting this textbook to make sure that all of our T's were crossed and our I's were dotted. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of very specific angles you have to get, specific lighting tricks you have to do. And then storyline on top of everything else. I mean, it is making a movie. When you make it at this caliber, I mean, OnlyFans is a little different. Throw yourself on wherever you want, film whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can get away with that.
Yeah.
When you've got a membership site where people are paying constantly for movies, you got to make movies. And we've done some crazy stuff. I have rented muscle cars. I've used smoke machines. I've had stunt drivers. We've made some crazy movies, especially this last year.
How can I put this? When I did film it, it's like, no, I want the fantasy. I don't want to see the other end of it. I just want to see the finished product. Because like you said, it's a lot of work. Plus, I'd never done it before. All I did was, because I know how to use a camera, I just filmed something. I'm like, I'll cross off the bucket list. I'll do it. And it wasn't what I thought it would be. It wasn't what I thought it would be when I did it. So
talking to talking with my manager today, and we're working on a full-length feature.
Okay.
And it was a four-hour conversation where we dissected all the different types of scenes we need and all the different storyline we need and all the inserts that we need. I'm like, if people knew, but you're going to sit down, you're going to scroll through until you find an image that you like, you're going to fap for 20 minutes, and you're going to turn it off. You're going to ignore the rest of that feature movie, most likely. But the amount of work, like, we're working on a project now that won't be seen until September of 2022.
Really?
And it'll be epic.
Listen, everyone makes fun of me. I like the story in my adult films. It's, there's got to be a story for me. It has to do with the MILF involved, but I need a story. My friend's like, what do you need a story for? I'm like, I don't know. I just want to get into it.
It's that human, you know? Hook.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to know that person's doing it for a reason.
Exactly. And so
it might be the same reason you fantasize about.
But probably. But here's the other problem I have, and I tell this to all the girls. Everybody knows this. You know, there's only like one or two girls that I haven't had on that I've wanted on. But now that I'm friends with a lot of girls, I feel weird watching their stuff because I know.
Get over it.
See, now you sound like everybody else. I don't know.
You feel weird because you have this archaic, patriarchal, misogynistic bullshit floating around in your brain because you're a civilian. Get over it. Have some fun. Enjoy some tits.
No, you're right.
Life will be happier when you can watch your friends naked.
Everybody else says, Rob, what are you getting mad for? You know us. You should get off of it even more. They said exactly what you said. But very, very, very bluntly, as I like. I like the honesty. That's what I love. You're very honest. And I knew, I'm like, I don't know what it is about her, but she's got a personality. And my whole show is about personalities, and you definitely have a personality. But I learned a lot. I figured she's all tatted up. She likes to party. I was wrong about that. I figured she likes metal. I was wrong about that. She likes hip-hop. I've learned a lot of things with having you on the show. Now, so you have a modeling agency.
I do.
And tell the people out there the name of the modeling agency for the audience.
So Mac Models is my modeling agency. It runs out of Canada. And that's where I was using Porno Bootcamp to find models for Mac Models because I was hiring for so many contracts. I didn't have enough people. I had more porn jobs than I had performers. Now we're double dipping. We're doing Los Angeles and Vancouver at the same time. We're offering regular pornography as well as virtual reality. We specialize in virtual reality.
Okay.
And so Mac Movies is now across the border officially. And we hook people up with work. That's it.
You are a busy person. All you girls are extremely busy. It's not, people think, I just go shoot here and there. No, it's like 24/7. You guys are busy all the time. It's work. I mean, that's what it is. It's work. Any recently or any interesting stories on set? Like, we did this and you're not going to believe what happened. Anything that pops into your head? I always like a good story on the program.
You know, work is very calculated. I can't think of anything hilarious or entertaining that's happened recently. You know, besides, you know, the general excellent sex that's constantly had. You know, what's funny is I'm shooting at such a high rate right now because we're doing two releases a week on my website.
Okay.
We just relaunched Mac Movies. So it's very, our storylines are very simple right now. We're shooting beautiful, beautiful men and women, just trying to get beautiful graphic images out in an eloquent pornographic way.
Okay.
While remaining ethical.
Okay.
but I think the stuff I do in my normal life is way freakier. Like I'm setting up a threesome because I wasn't able to celebrate Easter and I wanted to find a really kinky way to celebrate Easter. So I was like, okay, well, there's nothing fetishy about the Easter Bunny, but there is something fetishy about the Catholic Church. So I've come up with this whole scenario with a priest and we have to get baptized and come. And it's a whole scenario. My girlfriend and I will be in our little Catholic Sunday outfits and we'll have to say our O Fathers with a mouthful of cock and it'll end beautifully.
When you went the Easter route, I thought you were going to go the furry route. I didn't know. That's what I initially thought you were going to say. That's where I thought you were going with that.
No, I'm going full on, like, cum baptism. Like, this is going to be good.
There is Opie and Anthony, which was a big radio show here. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before here in the U.S. And they got kicked off the air because, was it St. Patrick's Day? It was some holiday. And they told their listeners they wanted to go, tell them to go have sex at a church in New York. And they did, and their listeners did, and then they got kicked off the air. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but they got kicked off the air because they caught people having sex in a church.
I did break into a church and have sex once.
See, I would as a good Catholic boy, I would feel guilty about that. But then you would probably say, Rob, stop being a pussy.
Well, that was back in my punk days when you know. We broke into abandoned buildings and did things.
Okay. We all had those moments.
I'm no longer a punk. I just have punk tendencies.
Okay. It only comes out once in a while.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
My accent. It just comes out when I'm really tired.
The about slips out and all that sort of stuff. Just slides in there. Okay. All right. See, my problem is, do I sound like I have an accent? Because when I'm in L.A., if I'm not wearing anything that says Philadelphia, someone will just go, yeah, that's a Philadelphia accent. I don't think I have an accent, but everyone says that I do if I'm out in California. Or you can't tell the difference.
I don't hear it, but I also am not sure what a Philly accent would be.
Okay, all right. So I'll take it. My accent sounds somewhat normal. So I'm glad you could call and check in. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to think what else I wanted to ask you. The GWAR stuff is fascinating. I didn't even know that. Because, like I said, I saw the pictures in the video. I didn't know what it was. Now, do you think you'd do something like that again, like host concerts or host tours or anything like that?
Oh, God, I hope so. Actually, I was just talking with some of the guys, some of the Mohabs today, about whether or not we will be able to bring together another barbecue. I'm okay. Very attached to GWAR specifically.
Okay.
Although through them, I was able to work with, in one day, I worked with 44 different bands. I also did the Summer Slaughter Tour with them last year.
Okay.
The last year that they had it.
Okay.
So it's one of the most fun, amazing things I've ever done. Walking onto a stage and having like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people like make noise when you tell them to make noise, and they're silent when you tell them to be silent, and they cheer when you want to cheer, and you know, it's an incredible feeling to have that kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was there year after year with the same fan base, I developed my own little subculture fan base through them as well. So now it feels like going home.
Okay.
It's not this crazy rock and roll lifestyle people think it is. It feels like going home. And truthfully, after each show, like, we go back to the drummer's house and we all sit around and they smoke cigars and we tell stories, and like, no one's partying like they think we do.
It depends on the band. Like, I remember my friend Jess Margera, who's Bam's brother, they're in CKY and they're based out of here in Philly. And I can't remember if I was there hanging out or was interviewing him. It was your typical backstage rock thing. I go up, I go see Jess. He has a trash bag full of beer. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, I got to finish a trash bag. I got to finish a case just to go on stage, so I feel normal. But every band's different. Some bands are literally just relaxing
that
backstage.
Sounds like alcoholism.
Listen, that's what a lot of rock bands are like. Look, watch Behind the Music. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what happens when you're on the road all the time. Then you get older, then you decide not to do it, because why would you want to put your body through that every single night? You know what I mean?
One of the things that I really firmly believe in, and the reason I'm in the position that I'm in, is because I feel like you should do whatever you're passionate about with 110% of your heart and soul.
Okay.
And for me, I always loved stirring the pot and proving stereotypes wrong and kind of being, you know, standing on my proverbial soapbox and preaching for the underdog. So to be a woman who's not a party animal, who doesn't have daddy issues, who's tattooed, who's not a blonde, in pornography, who's not an American, I mean, I tick off all the boxes of what should not be a porn star. And so just by doing what I do, it is an act of defiance. But also what it's done is it's opened up doors for other people who do whatever they want to do with their whole heart. And the big thing we talk about in porn boot camp is you want to be here because you want this self-expression. You want to be a filmmaker. You want to be naked on camera. You want to, you know, set the bar and raise the eyebrows. If you want a paycheck, go keep your job at 7-Eleven because they're going to pay you every 2 weeks. We're not going to.
Okay. No, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you have to get drunk or high to be here, you're in the wrong job. How horrible must it be to need to numb your senses in order to get through a day at work? That's awful. And that would be me if I had to work in a cubicle 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here I am living what you guys think is this crazy life. But truly, all I am doing is constantly, every day, being the black sheep, proving people wrong, you know, embracing, you know, female empowerment, female sexuality, these things that we have spent centuries and generation after generation suppressing and forcing down. Here I am flaunting it, having a gay old time, sometimes really gay. and it just because it's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about proving people wrong. I'm passionate about showing the other side of female empowerment, female sexuality. And so it really bothers me when I hear that people have to be intoxicated or they have to numb themselves to just get through a day of work. That sounds like an awful, awful existence. No, I can't imagine that.
No, that makes sense what you're saying. So being from Canada, are you a sports fan? Are you a hockey fan being from Canada? So not a sports fan at all. No, I'm asking. I don't know. That's why it's an interview. I'm asking these questions.
So every Canadian loves hockey. I look at hockey and it's the only sport outside of combat sports where they allow fighting in the middle of the game. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really stupid, especially for Canadians. We're known for being polite. So why the hell are we punching each other in the face?
Not hockey players aren't known for being polite on the ice.
It seems so anti-Canadian to me. It feels like an unnecessary sport in my mind.
Okay.
Why punch somebody in the middle of a game?
I could spend an hour to tell you why you need to fight in hockey. And you probably I don't get it. It's called policing the game. That's pretty much, if a guy gets a cheap shot, if you go and you fight the guy, it usually calms it down. There's no more cheap shots. That's pretty much why you fight in hockey.
Or we could teach sportsmanship. I mean, like, I worked for a football team for 2 years. I was a football trainer. And they don't beat each other up because they're very physical in the game. They say shit to each other, of course. But there is a level of sportsmanship and honor there. You're not seeing people get punched in the face. Or if they are, they're thrown off the field.
Yeah, it's
true. Why is it acceptable in hockey? I am the one Canadian who just doesn't get it.
It's the same thing in baseball. If something happens, you can throw at the batter, and hit him.
Damn.
I run a semi-pro baseball team. I could sit here and run through baseball stuff. And you're like, all right, Rob, this is really boring. I don't want to hear this anymore. and tell you why you do those things. But you know, it is what it is. Let's see. I always ask the girls this question because I just want to know. Outside of your models that you work with, is there a girl, if you say, you know what, I want to shoot with this girl that I've always had a crush on in the business. Is there one of those type of people that you're like, yeah, I'd want to shoot with her. She's, that's not one of your models that you'd want to shoot with.
Oh, there's lots. I'm shooting with Lily Lane tomorrow because she's amazing.
Okay.
I've always wanted to shoot with Phoenix Marie because she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's a very powerful woman. The list is so long. I mean, it starts with Christy Mack, of course.
We've tried to get her on the program many, many times.
I ran a show with her because I'm the host of the Vancouver Tattoo Convention for the last 12 years in Vancouver. And she came in as a feature MC one night. And her and I were backstage and she's like, I'm Christy Mack. I was like, I'm Samantha Mack. This is weird. She's the nicest, kindest, sweetest, most wonderful, ethical human I've ever met in my entire life. And I wish that I had met her while we were both in the industry because having the Mac attack would have been epic for ratings. But she is phenomenal, man.
Listen, it's funny you bring her up. She's, as far as guests on the show, she's number one that I've not been able to have on the show. I'm going out to Vegas in a couple months, and I may pull some strings to see if we can get her on. We're out there. But she's the only one that, though there's somebody else, but she's the only one I haven't been able to get on the show. I will eventually get her on, but it's been very difficult. I've got a hold of her, but I haven't got her to come on the show. So.
Yeah, she's.
Maybe one day. You know, it is what it is. We're going, we don't know yet. So the Eagles are playing in Las Vegas. They're playing the Raiders. And my business partner, if you were.
I think of the Eagles like the band.
No, sorry. The football team. Sorry. So my business partner, if you were an Eagles fan, he does like. So you want to go to a away Eagles game. He would do like your hotel, your airfare, your game ticket, all that kind of stuff. That's what his company is. So we've been waiting for 3 years that we've known the Eagles are playing in Vegas. So there, right now there's like 2,000 people that are going out. But I know a lot of people in Vegas. So they're going to come out and they keep telling me, Rob, when are the Eagles playing in Vegas? And we have to wait for the schedule to come out, which doesn't come out till next week. So we're going to be out there. And I'm hoping with the ladies I know in Las Vegas that they can get Christy to come to one of our parties. So that's my plan when I'm out there. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try.
I would bet a lot of money that won't work.
Well, listen, people have said no to me before. It won't happen. Like you said, I like being the underdog. So the longer someone says it won't happen, I keep trying.
I just think that you're.
Go ahead. Be honest.
You haven't done your research yet.
No,
your game plan is falling short.
Listen. I'm a person that likes to go on the fly. I just got to get her out. That's all I got to do. I just got to get her out, and it's a matter of getting her to come out to wherever we may be when we're in Las Vegas. And then I can sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. All I got to do is get the person in front of me. I can talk them in the. I can right. sell something.
Right. So in order to get her out, you got to do a little bit more research and get a game plan for that.
Okay. I'll call you.
Selling her the ketchup popsicle. That's all you afterwards. But you're missing. You're missing a very important piece of the puzzle. You're not seeing it.
Well, without going into too much detail, we tried to, for my 400 show, we wanted to fly somebody out, and Christy was at the top of the list. We got her, how can I put this? Her, I don't want to say demands. What she wanted to come out to Philadelphia.
Her rider.
I guess you could call it a rider. It's a little bit more than a rider. And we thought at the time it was slightly... inflated, and we didn't think that we could justify the amount that she wanted to come out to Philadelphia. So I'm hoping if we're in Las Vegas, it may come down a little bit. If we're actually in Vegas, you know what I mean. But it is what it is. Where can everyone find you? Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff, where they can stalk you like I was. Pay attention to everything
Twitter,
you're doing.
I am the Samantha Mac on Facebook. I am the Samantha Mac on. Anything, I always get the Samantha Mac as my first official screen name, and then once I get banned, usually for inappropriate nudity, I become the Samantha Mac _, which is okay. What I am on Instagram now.
Okay, that's where everybody can find her. Let's see. So if I ever try to, I need a plan to formulate to get Christy Mac on the show. I'm going to call you. If you ever happen to come out to the East Coast and you come to Philadelphia for whatever reason. Look us up. We'd love to have you. See, this is my little tiny studio. We have a studio that's in Philadelphia, which is I'm in the suburbs, which is about 30 minutes from here, which is our nice, fancy, on the 9th floor, all glass, overlooks Philadelphia. And maybe if you come to Philly, we can have you. I'll bring you to the nice studio. I wouldn't bring you here if you ever make it over here. I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Don't be a stranger. Have fun out in Los Angeles. And listen, if you're bored and you want to get in this, and you really want to learn, you want to get into pro football, maybe we can have you come out. You can come out to Las Vegas because Allure Jensen will be there. She's a big Eagles fan. Priya Ray is going to be out there. Kiki Dare is going to be out there. Emily Addison, who's my friend, who's a Penthouse pet, will be out there. So if you want to learn football, let me know if you want to come out to Las Vegas in September or hopefully September, October, if you want to come out to Vegas to hang out.
I mean... I know a thing or two about football.
you said you worked for a football team. I didn't know that you meant that you were into
the
sport.
I'm a football trainer.
Okay. Well, no. When I asked if you were in the sports, you said, "Well, you said you weren't into hockey."
Right.
Okay. All right. So you are a football fan.
But
then.
If wherever Allura Jensen is, you'll find me in the shadows.
Okay. Well, that Allura's from Philadelphia, a huge Eagles fan. So she will. We actually flew Allura out. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017, and the Eagles have never won a Super Bowl, we flew her out to come to the parade in South Philly. And real quick, funny story about that. So, of course, we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go party because, you know, it's crazy. And it's like 10 below out. And the parade's not till 10. Like 9:30 rolls around, no Allure. I'm like, and she stayed in Jersey, so she was literally 5 minutes over the bridge. I'm like, where's Allure at? She calls me 10 minutes before the parade starts. She's like, Rob, I'm going over the bridge now. I'm like, Allure. Everything's shut down. There is no way in hell you're going to get to where we're at. 10 minutes later, she shows up. I was like, how the hell did you get to where we were? And she goes, oh, well, after I got off my Uber and I saw the Philadelphia police, they just got Allure. They knew who she was, and they let her get through the barricade to where we were.
Yeah.
There's the Allure Jensen Eagles parade story, which I always find hilarious.
I love that.
You know, but she's like, I'll get there. And, oh, she showed up. But listen, thank you for coming on. Everybody follow Samantha on all the social media platforms. I'll be following her. Don't be a stranger. And again, thank you for taking the time to come on. And I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot of things tonight, and I really appreciate that.
And now you're going to go have sober sex on camera.
Listen, if anyone in Philadelphia wants to have sober sex with me right now, everyone knows how to get a hold of me. So we can see if we can make that happen.
Oh, my fingers are crossed for you.
Thanks, Samantha. I appreciate it.
Thank you, hon.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
There you go. The gorgeous Samantha Mac hanging out with us. It's always good to have different people on the program. We learned a lot. It was funny. When I was trying to get her on Skype, she had multiple names and I couldn't find her. But that's why we were a little late coming onto the program. Anyway, a couple things I want to get to before we end the show. We went to the Phillies game last week, and the Phillies are on right now. We learned a couple things. So Ruggs went. We hadn't seen Ruggs in a while. After his second beer, Ruggs is like, I'm back, baby. Ari came. Fred came. We had a good time. We found that you have to buy food at the stadium when you buy alcohol, which I didn't quite get, but it is what it is. Other than that, it was somewhat painless. What else? 76 is blocked after Passyunk Avenue, so you have to cut through Southwest Philly, which was just a phenomenal drive. That was great. Eagles draft. No matter what, I'm not going to get into detail about the other picks, but the fact that they got my guy, they got Devontae Smith, I'm a happy camper, which is great. Perky League season, supposed to start next week. It's not going to start next week for us because we had all our games canceled. But, and I won't go into grave detail, I already have a team that's pissed at me because of a post I put up, and they're consumed by me. I mean, consumed where there's text change about me. It's all about me. And I said this before to some people on the team. Listen, I'll be the heel. I have no problem being it. Focus on me. Talk about me. I don't care. Just don't worry about the team. That's all. But Perky League season starts. We might do a Perky League preview show. I haven't decided yet. I got to sit down with Pep. Maybe Friday. I don't know. We might do that. Don't forget, Sports Fan Base Network. All our home games are going to be live. Our first broadcast will be the week of May 17th. I don't have if it's the 18th or 19th when we're home. It was supposed to be this coming Monday, but all those games got postponed because two of the teams didn't have all their college players to be able to play. But Sports Fan Base Network, make sure you check us out. What have I learned on the show? I learned that I thought Samantha was like big in the metal, and she's a hip-hop chick, which would have never guessed. I learned that she worked for a trainer for a football team. Didn't know that. Didn't know that she knew Guar. I learned a lot. And, you know, maybe it was naive of me. I figured if you were on set, you could drink a little bit. But that is taboo. That is no, you don't do that. And I guess it makes sense, but I didn't, you know, it's just not something, I never even really thought about it, but I learned that. I'm trying to think if I learned anything else. Going through my notes here. No? I got a call, but right before the show started, my dad calls me. He's like, hey, instead of having someone come open the pool this year, why don't you come open it with me? We'll open the pool, but we got to take the pool cover off. So we're going to do that in 2 weeks. By the way, the pool cover weighs like 300 or 400 pounds, so. We should film that. That'll be like the blind leading the blind trying to get the pool cover off. That should be a lot of fun. But listen, that'll do it for the 415th edition of the Rob V Show. And like I end every show, this is the 415th, the 415th time. In the words of my brother, Assistant Chief Zach Valivas of the world-famous Fort Washington Fire Company, two wrongs don't make a right. They make an even. Good night, everybody. And now, as always, my mentor, the one, the only, Big Daddy Graham, will take us away. Take it away, Big Daddy.
I'm coming to get you. Crash on 95. There's a fire down in Kensington. Geez, that's a real surprise. Andy Weather says it's gonna snow. God, they hope so. Weather sells. Even if it's just a quarter inch, they'll make it sound like blizzard hell. We cover all the breaking news with morons waving the back.
Hi, Mom.
Even if you're on your honeymoon, they're gonna send the action cam.
the big story. The big story.
Hey, there's that action news fan.
Mommy, Daddy, there's a geeky looking guy on our doorstep.
Oh my God, it's Don Pauling.
The big story. The big story.
I want a Monica Bell pass swimsuit calendar. Ow!
Survive.